And then we'll speak a little something. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Yashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Yamuna Sri Ramanachari Yamuna Sri Ramanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari 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 Of Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai, Gaudiya Premanandi. Om Ganatimi Nandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Garun Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Garun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vazadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo all together Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So as I mentioned, it's our great honor and privilege to be here. This is our first visit to your wonderful temple and community. We would like to extend our deep gratitude to Mother Madhurya Leela, Devi Devapru, and the devotees who are leading the project here for allowing us to come and enter the inner sanctum of this amazing community. It is really our great honor and privilege to be here with all of you. And we're very sad to hear about Mother Gandharvika, her passing, in the sense that, of course, we'll no longer be able to relish her association, but for sure, years and years of amazing service and the wonderful support that the community has given her here in her final days has been just the most amazing thing for her. So we're also very grateful to hear this. We've been asked to speak a little something today for the talk, and we've chosen a section of the Srimad Bhagavatam to speak from. My wife and I, I'm into controversial things. Everyone became very quiet and concerned. But not the modern day controversies, just the controversies in the Bhagavatam that when you read them, you think, really, is that the way? Is that it? Is that how it looks? Is that how it works? So I really like to dive in. So we're going to discuss a little bit of this pastime. I guess just by the verse that's up on the board, no one can tell exactly what it is. But we'll read. Do you normally read the verse together or just kind of read it and get on? Since we have limited time, I'll just read the verse purport and Everyone's okay with that? No one will kick us out for being bogus in any way, shape, or form. Okay, not this time anyway, right? Okay, so I'll read the Sanskrit. Oh, okay, we'll just read that then. Okay.
These servants of mine have transgressed against you, not knowing the mind of their master. I shall therefore deem it a favor done to me if you order that, although reaping the fruit of their transgression, they may return to my presence soon, and the time of their exile from my abode may expire before long. And the Prabhupada. From this statement, we can understand how anxious the Lord is to get his servitor back into Vaikuntha. This incident, therefore, proves that those who have once entered a Vaikuntha planet can never fall down. The case of Jay and Vijaya is not a fall down. It is just an accident. The Lord is always anxious to get such devotees back again to the Vaikuntha planets as soon as possible. It is to be assumed that there is no possibility of a misunderstanding between the Lord and the devotees. But when there are discrepancies or disruptions between one devotee and another, one has to suffer the consequences, although that suffering is temporary. The Lord is so kind to his devotees that he took all the responsibility for the doorman's offense and requested the sages to give them facilities to return back to Vaikuntha as soon as possible.
Okay, so how many of you are familiar with this pastime? Who kind of already knows what's going on here? Okay, a few. Who has no idea what's going on here? Okay, who won't raise their hand no matter what question I ask? Okay, none of you raised your hand either, so okay. At least we've got a cooperative crowd today, so. Okay, so we'll just kind of set the scene a little bit from this verse. What we can understand is that actually Lord Brahma is conveying a history to the demigods. The demigods have become very disturbed by the fact that two amazingly wonderful personalities born of Diti and Kasyapa are basically terrorizing the entire universe. And who are those two personalities? Yes, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So the demigods are wondering, what's going on? How have they become so powerful? And of course, Lord Brahma is explaining, and he begins to tell the story of how these two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, were doing their job, and this is where it gets a little controversial for me. They were basically just doing their job. You know, they're guarding the gates of Vaikuntha. And anyone here has ever done any security, you know, it's an important service. If you're a security person, you have to vet everyone that comes in. You have to make sure only the right people get through. And what more intense a place to secure than the gates of Vaikuntha? And they weren't just guarding any gate, they were guarding the final gate, which was the seventh gate. And then one day while guarding these gates, four personalities approached the gate wanting to pass through. Now, I don't know about any of you, but if I was guarding a gate and four naked little kids showed up at the gate, I'd be a little reluctant to let them in. And I would think, you know, as Narada Muni said to Dhruva Maharaj, you know, maybe you should just go home and be with your mom and dad. But of course, these weren't just any four naked little kids. These were the four Kumaras, you know, the first sons of Lord Brahma. And they show up at the gate and they're eager to get inside to try to understand what is this absolute truth, you know? And they were... Anyway, there's so many things we could say, but there they were at the gates. Jai and Vijay stopped them. And for me, that's like they were just doing their job, you know? Is this normal for the microphone to kind of dip in and out? Okay, must be me, my magnetic personality or something. So they were just doing their job. Then, because they got stopped, something happened. These four naked little boys decided to curse them. So again, for me, now that doesn't sound very fair. Doesn't sound very fair. I mean, guys, we're just doing our job here. Meanwhile, they grab their Brahmin threads and cast their curse upon Jai and Vijay. And then a whole scene ensues in which, as we hear from this verse in purport, Lord Vishnu himself personally has to get involved. So it's such an instructive pastime in the Bhagavatam. And for me, Krishna consciousness has a very high philosophy. And I'm all good with high philosophy, but if the philosophy isn't practical, if it can't be applied in our lives on a day-to-day level, then in one sense for me, it's not really very useful. So we try to look at this section of the Bhagavatam and understand how it can be practically applied. And to that end, we've come up with an acronym. Of course, we're not showing it up on the board. We came up with an acronym for this section of the Bhagavatam, CARE. C-A-R-E. And each letter stands for a word, which we will describe now as we go ahead.
Okay, so C we took to mean as community. C for community. So, believe it or not, even in devotional, devotee communities, sometimes there's disagreement. Sometimes there's upset. Sometimes there's not, maybe. arguments, upset. There's a very famous letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to Atreya Rishi Prabhu that, do not expect any utopia in this society. Do not expect that here. We use the example the temples, Prabhupada says, being like hospitals, which means we're all inpatients. We're all suffering in some way or the other. Somehow, in our interaction with the three modes of material nature, I'm dealing with them the way I do, and I come across someone else who's dealing with them they do, and then we just somehow don't vibe together. Or sometimes the example of trying to smooth over rocks. We used this example earlier that if you're trying to smooth rocks, you can put them in a rock tumbler. So you put the rough edges of rocks and then you turn it around and they do that. They knock, they start bashing each other. But at the end of it, when you take them out, nice and smooth, and everything's been like, well, not worn away, but you could say. So in the same way, we come up, if we're going to have some disagreements or arguments, if we're only around the devotee community, that's where we're going to get smoothed out. That's where we're going to get that bashing, as it were, the purification. So here we said we felt C for community because, yes, it's the devotee community, but disagreements, while they will be there, what we felt from this pastime was, but the real question is, how do we deal with these matters? How do we personally deal with the disagreements that do come up in communities? Do we hold grudges for many, 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 many years and let that pervade our sort of consciousness, our interactions, and therefore others? Or do we try to maybe somehow allow it to come in and try to move on and not allow it to stagnate me in my Krishna consciousness? This has come up, and how can I actually move on from it?
So we'll also intermittently read sections from this chapter. So Jai and Vijay speak after being cursed and having some discussion with the four Kumaras. And they say, after being cursed by the sages, the doorman said, it is quite apt that you have punished us for neglecting to respect sages like you. But we pray that due to your compassion at our repentance, the illusion of forgetting the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not come upon us as we go progressively downward. So what's happened is Jai and Vijay have understood, okay, we made a mistake. We apologize to the four Kumaras. And then in their apology, they understand that we've been cursed, we're going to have to take birth in the material world, but please have some mercy on us. We have one request, that out of your kindness, because we have repented and accepted we've done something wrong, we have one request of you. Please don't let us forget God. Don't let us forget Krishna. No matter how far down we go, just don't let us forget Krishna. We're happy to take the curse. We deserve it. But don't let us forget Krishna. And this speaks so much about who Jai and Vijay are. What it means is that they're actually pure devotees at heart. And as Prabhupada said in the purport that we read, that this was a bit of a mistake. They made a mistake, but they were also willing to take responsibility for that mistake. But within their heart, they're like, no problem, I'll do the time, I did the crime, but just don't let me forget Krishna, please. So it's very, very heartwarming to see this mood in the servants of the Lord.
So the next letter in the acronym, C was for community, and A, we felt, would be for appearance of the Lord. Oftentimes when there are disagreements or upset, it's not so easy to evoke this remembrance of the Lord. First you're dealing with the hurt, the emotions, the false egos there. I mean, there's a lot going on. And it's not so easy to, at that time, evoke whatever knowledge or whatever devotion we have. I remember one time, it's a long time, 12, 15 years ago, one of my friends, when I was having some trouble with someone, constantly going on and on and on about it. And she would just listen. She's a friend, just listening, 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 day after day. And eventually one day, she said to me very simply, very, not harshly, just said it, just came out naturally. She said, where's Krishna in all of this? I just felt like someone had just like slapped me in the face, and she said it so, and I was like, wow. And I don't think I ever mentioned it to her again. I just thought, yeah, what am I doing? How is this consuming me? So we can also see that Krishna can appear, therefore, in different ways. May not come down physically like he did here. And we also see that the description of the Lord is described here, and that everyone actually experiences Lord Vishnu in their own different ways of in this pastime, in terms of their realization. That's how they actually get. So the four Kumaras are there, and they're like, whoa. And Jaya Vijaya are there. They get chastised, but they also see their master or their Lord and Master. Everyone sees him in different ways.
So as we know, the Lord accomplishes many things with one action. Just by one act, so many people experience it in different ways. And the Lord, when he manifests and appears, he appears with so much humility. So we hear a little bit more from this section. The sages, headed by Sanaka Rishi, saw that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who was formerly visible only within their hearts, an ecstatic trance, had now actually become visible before their eyes. So it's described that the four Kumaras, before this incident, they were Brahmavadis. They really only understood the Lord in his energetic form, but they had also manifested and understood that the Lord is situated as Paramatma within the heart. But now they were getting darshan of the Lord in his personal form and understanding that Bhagavan feature. So the Lord is described here very beautifully. He was adorned with a girdle that shone brightly on the yellow cloth covering his large hips. And he wore a garland of fresh flowers, which was distinguished by humming bees. His lovely wrists were graced with bracelets, and he rested one of his hands on the shoulder of Garuda, his carrier, and twirled a lotus with the other hand. So it's so nice, the descriptions of the Lord in the Bhagavatam. You can just meditate for hours.
So next, in terms of the acronym, is R, in terms of the acronym being care. And R, we felt, was for responsibility. So in the end, it seems that everyone has to accept 100% of the responsibility for their part in that situation. We're not saying in terms of what's occurring on the other side, but from how I am responsible or how I am reacting to the situation. And we understand that if there is opposition, if two people are just determined, if someone goes like that and pays, just drops to the ground in humility, can the other person, or sometimes does the other person cave in and realize, okay, maybe I've gone too far, maybe, okay, you're right. If they don't, and they maybe try to maybe bash you in the head or something, then we realize, or everyone realizes, well, that's where the problem was anyway. So we can actually see. But also, there should be some form of, like we were saying previously in the seminars, some form of rectification also needs to be there in order for someone who's experiencing some of this conflict or upset to feel that there was acknowledgement of what occurred. Not just, it's okay, everyone just get together, chant Hare Krishna, go and take some prasadam. No, that was wrong, what occurred. And we can see that, we accept that. So if there isn't any acknowledgement, sometimes it can almost see that's not so caring for the personalities that are involved in the situation. So some acknowledgement and even rectification, if possible, should be there.
This word responsibility is quite powerful, because responsibility, if you break it into two words, it means the ability to respond. So in life in general, most times we're very reactive. So when something happens to us, there's a stimulus, then we react. And I don't know if any of you are like me, probably not. You all look like very saintly, pure personalities. But sometimes we're not always happy with the way that we react to a situation. So instead of reacting, we should create some space in between the stimulus and our response. And that's why we consider someone responsible, because they're able to respond to a situation accordingly. That's what responsibility means. That we're able to choose the way that we deal with the situation. That's responsibility. But if we're just reactive, and we often just, you know, if we get something, someone says something, we just lash out, then that usually isn't going to be a very responsible way of dealing with the situation. So after this, we see that the four Kumaras now have something to say after the Lord appears and speaks. They say, O Lord, we pray that you let us be born in any hellish condition of life, just as long as our hearts and minds are always engaged in the service of your lotus feet. Our words are made beautiful by speaking of your activities, just as tulsi leaves are beautified when offered unto your lotus feet, and as long as our ears are always filled with the chanting of your transcendental qualities. So after the Lord appears on the scene and speaks, the four Kumaras very quickly realize, because actually what the Lord does is he begins to chastise Jai and Vijay. And he says, they made a mistake. They shouldn't have stopped you. And we'll hear later his mood of humility and how he sets the perfect example. So because of this, the four Kumaras realize, oh no, we've made a mistake. Actually, we don't want Jai and Vijay to be, you know, cursed, even though we cursed them. We don't want them to suffer. So they say to the Lord, let us take birth in any hellish condition. Actually, you should punish us. But they also make the same request that Jai and Vijay made, which is, please don't let us forget you. Your lotus feet. Because at this point, they've also just become converted to pure devotees in the personal sense, because they've smelt the aroma of the tulsi that was offered to the Lord's lotus feet. So what you have here is this situation that sometimes, maybe not always, but a lot of the times, when there's that conflict, as my wife was saying, if one devotee takes full responsibility, 100% responsibility for his 50% of the issue, then the other person feels transformed by their humility. And then sometimes you find the two devotees will start arguing over who's done the most wrong. You understand? It's like, no, Prabhu, it's not your fault. No, Prabhu, I'm sorry. It's all my fault. No, Prabhu. And then they start arguing about who's more at fault. the better we argue about that than something else. So like that, it's all about this taking of responsibility.
So here we have the final letter in acronym, which was CARE. Final letter being E, which is for expert leadership. And this example was set perfectly by Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu sets the example of coming down and accepting or taking on any wrongdoing, first of all, that his servants, Jaya and Vijaya, may have done. And he shows that, okay, if they've done something wrong, they need to take responsibility, and fair enough, some rectification may be there. But I would like that to be dealt with swiftly so that they can come back to me and return to their service. And we thought this was really important, that Lord Vishnu is setting this example that, yeah, if something occurs and someone has some fall down or accident or mistake, the environment is set by the community, by the leaders, that you're still welcome back when that rectification has taken place. Not anyway, just come back anyway. But he's saying, but it's not that forever labelled, forever that's the one that did that, and or you just don't feel you can come back into the family fold. And we see that even criminals in the material world, as it were, even when they say they do their time, you know, I did my time, then society lets them back. You get a job, you get a home, you can go back into, and obviously, as long as you behave yourself, you can just merge right back into society. So we see that sometimes, however, it can be not so open-hearted, open-handed for us within our own community to do this, but the Lord actually set that perfect example of creating that environment for them to come back and to showing that to them and to the four Kumaras.
So this is the example that Krishna sets. So the Lord speaks and he says, to me, the Brahmana is the highest and most beloved personality. The disrespect shown by my attendants has actually been displayed by me, because the doormen are my servitors. I take this to be an offense by myself. Therefore, I seek your forgiveness for the incident that has arisen. So who's saying that?
Krishna is very humble,
yeah. Krishna is apologizing to the four Kumaras. He takes full responsibility for the altercation performed by his servants. He says, actually, I've committed the offense against you, and that's horrible. So I'm begging you, please forgive me. This is God. He continues, anyone in the entire world, anyone, even down to the Chandala, who lives by cooking and eating the flesh of the dog, is immediately purified if he takes bath in hearing through the ear the glorification of my name, fame, etc. Now, you have realized me without a doubt. Therefore, I will not hesitate to lop off my own arm if its conduct is found hostile to you. Krishna is prepared to chop his own arm off, remove it from his body, because the four Kumaras have now realized him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he considers them his pure devotees. And for his pure devotees, he's willing to dismember his own self if somehow his body is offensive to the Vaishnavas. This isn't normal. This is godliness. This is beyond what, I mean, this is why I like reading these things, because
so difficult to ascertain, because in our own hearts, that would be like one of the most difficult things to do. The Lord continues. He says, because I'm willing to do this, because I am the servitor of my devotees. I'm willing to do this because I'm simply the servant of my devotees. So this is the mood of Krishna. Dinabandhu Prabhu, whom many of you may know from Vrindavan, Prabhupada disciple, he came once and he was giving a talk, and he was describing our vision versus the vision of the Lord. And he said, it's like a tapestry, I guess, like if you see the backdrops for the deities. We're looking at the front side, and they look so beautiful, so intricately done, all the stitching, the sequence in the right place, every stitch done, the design is so ornate and so beautiful. But probably if you look at the back of that, what will you see? A mess. Thank you. You'll see all these strings hanging off, bits of, you know, thread everywhere, and it just looks like a mess. And he said, so we are looking at the tapestry of the material energy from the backside or from the underneath. And for us, everything looks like a mess most of the time. Maybe I'm the only one that wonders, what the heck is going on here sometimes? But when Krishna looks, he looks from the top, and all he sees is how expertly laid out everything is, how it's all working according to his plan. And it's not so easy for us to gain that sublime vision, that sublime oversight, to see that everything is moving, as they say, not even a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord. So it's not so easy to see that from that perspective. And the Lord here is taking full responsibility for his servitors, and he's allowing them to be cursed. But the first verse is that he's requesting the four Kumaras, please let them come back to me as quickly as possible so that I can reinstate them in their service. Now, of course, there is a little backstory to this, which is that Jayan Vijay also had made this mistake once before. Anyone remembers who they made this mistake with? Yes. That's right. Yes, Lakshmi Devi herself had tried to enter into Vaikuntha, and Jayan Vijay stopped her at the gate also. So once Lakshmi came inside, she said to Vishnu, you need to sort these guys out. And of course, once the wife speaks like that, you don't really have much choice. You have to take care of business. So this incident was also arranged because there needed to be some rectification for Jai and Vijay. At the same time, by this one action, the four Kumaras got the darshan of the Lord. They developed personalist realization of the Lord. They were humbled also by their activities. Jai and Vijay were humbled in their activities. They wound up taking birth as three different demons and then later coming back as two more, Jagai and Madai. And so the Lord also got to make arrangements for himself to come to the material world and have someone to fight with. So many things happen just by this one incident like that. So anyhow, that's our assessment of this pastime and what we wanted to share. So the acronym again was CARE. The C stood for community, and the A stood for the appearance of the Lord. Because these things can happen in our community, anywhere around the world, even in the community that's just our own home. wife, children, there can be disagreements. I'm sure none of you have experienced that, disagreements at home. But when these things happen, we have to invoke the appearance of the Lord. And then R stands for responsibility. Then when these things happen, we invoke the appearance of the Lord by chanting the holy names, by praying to the Lord, by seeing the Lord present in the heart of the other person, and we take responsibility for how we actually deal with that situation. And then E stood for expert leadership of who? The Lord. He sets the perfect example. He shows us how to take responsibility. So like that, this is our understanding, and we thought we could share that because this, in one sense, is really the essence of care. Care isn't, in order to care for someone else, you have to really free yourself from the inebrities within the heart, some of these anartas, and that means Krishna is going to have to remove a few items. So I think that's the ringtone to get us to stop speaking. I mentioned to the devotees on the course, in London and Soho Street, we have this thing. We ask everyone to turn their phones on before a class. And when the phone, if it rings during the class, they have to sponsor a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. So Mataji, just one set, no problem. Okay. Hare Krishna. I distributed a lot of sets like that. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So there is a little time if anyone has any reflection or question or chastisement. We're happy. Hari Hari. Yes, Prabhu. That's what I was thinking. I can't pass this one. It's tied to the thing. I don't know if there is a mobile mic. I can repeat, but he'll finish first. Yeah, and then I'll repeat. Okay. I won't repeat each word. Is your English is better than mine, Prabhu. Don't worry. It's all right.
So, Prabhu, we have a responsibility in society.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then if we try to rectify and we are in fault, we have fault, then the people can, you know, become discouraged. So how we can overcome that? You know, or yes, become humble and accept it and then start from there, you know, again.
Very nice. So his question is that sometimes in devotional life, we can make such progress and advancement that we gain position. We gain the adoration and even worship of others. We have a big post. And in that big post, we may make some mistakes, but it becomes very difficult to hear from others that we should rectify ourselves. And if something happens, then we're not necessarily so willing to relinquish that responsibility and take the humble position. And then your question was, how do we deal with that? How do we rectify it? Now, of course, I can... Sorry, your name, Prabhu?
Ekatwan.
Eka?
Ekatwan.
Yes. Ekatwan, Prabhu. So, of course, that question can be asked from two different perspectives, at least when I hear it now. One is, how can I rectify someone else who's in that position, right? That's one way of asking. The other is, how can that person who's in that position rectify themselves? Does that make a little bit of sense?
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you.
The first one is, how can I rectify someone else? My dear brother, my dear Prabhu, good luck, okay? I know parents who ask the same question. How can I rectify my children? Their own flesh and blood, younger than them, they brought them into the world, they tried to raise them. It's hard to even rectify your own children. I don't know about you, I find it hard to rectify my own mind. So to extend that to another jiva, good luck. But the possibility may exist if we have, first and foremost, I would say, a relationship with that jiva. A relationship of trust that allows us a certain level of influence. But not influence in a way of power or negative manipulation, but an influence because of love. Like two friends, like my wife was telling, that she was ranting on and on about some issue that happened, complaining, and then her friend said, "This is all nice, but where is Krishna in this situation?" And because there's love, she didn't take that statement as being condescending or just being someone saying, "Chant Hare Krishna, be happy, quit moaning." She understood, my God, Krishna's just spoken through this devotee to me, and I need to put Krishna in the picture. Thank you. That is probably really the only way. The other way could be that you have a position of responsibility over and or above this other jiva, but my experience is that rarely works either, because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't necessarily make them drink. And a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So really, transformation only happens on the level of the heart. So we have to have that kind of relationship. Now the other angle or aspect is, how can that person rectify themselves? Well, ultimately that's up to them. And we see in this situation, Jai and Vijay made a mistake. They made an error. And ultimately, Krishna himself had to get involved and rectify the situation. Now, that started with the four Kumars who were, in one sense, I guess you could say, senior to Jai and Vijay. They first cursed them. And what ensued was a whole back and forth. But at least Jai and Vijay had the humility to accept that they had made a mistake. But that's not something that we can invoke in another person. We can try to explain it, but you can't put it in their heart. You can't upload it like on a flash drive. Oh, wow, now I'm humble. It's something that has to manifest within their own heart. And it's unfortunate. I mean, in the world of people who are dependent, like, let's say, dependencies, an alcoholic, my understanding is that usually they have to hit rock bottom before they finally decide to give up, to make a change, to transform. And no matter how many people who love them beyond anything say to them, please, 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 because their dependency is so strong, the modes of material nature are so wicked sometimes that it just drags us down until finally we have to make a change ourselves. So it's not so easy. You understand?
Because I have experienced what you're talking about, because I have a brother who was an alcoholic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He never listened to me. You know what?
What?
He died.
Krishna. Yeah, and what can we do in that situation? We can try our best. I mean, anyway, many devotees share that persons with big responsibility and position, that before they had big problems, They were also communicated with by many, many different people. But, you know, we may not have that power to persuade or convince someone of something else. But what we can do is at least try. We can make our humble attempt. But beyond that, it's in the hands of the Lord, and there's not really much that we can do. And that's unfortunate. But of course, you know, there may be another angle or perspective that if someone does have a position of authority and responsibility over that person and they do something incorrect, then there should be some, as in this situation, some type of rectification that can be implemented. But that's also a little theoretical. In a society of devotees, it's often hard to implement rectification. It becomes a difficult thing. But nevertheless, I don't know if that answers your question or just confuses the matter even more. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu, and what is your name?
It just came to me as an inspiration that there is a way to rectify the person.
Okay.
Directly through Krishna.
Okay.
By prayer. When you pray for the other person.
Wonderful.
Krishna intercedes.
I was praying like anything.
Because the closest person to everyone is the super soul.
Perfect.
Is
Krishna.
So that the equation parallels.
Can be balanced.
There is an option, and that is prayer.
Okay.
For some.
So the option, Prabhuji is saying, the option, there is another option, and that's prayer, that we actually pray intensely for this person, and then Krishna can intervene in their life, because he's actually the closest person to all of us. And if he sees fit, then he will intervene. But sorry, Prabhu, yes.
All is good, but even if you think that I've given my effort and in my estimation, my calculation is not working out, I offer some prayer and it doesn't seem to be working. Okay. The whole point of us all being here is aspire to become pure devotees.
Yes, sir.
According to the same Srimad Bhagavatam, if you succeed in becoming a pure devotee, Prabhupada says, then so many generations of your family will get back to Godhead without the so-called rectification now. They'll show up there anyway. And I know how they got
there.
Because what you do.
I was thinking
that.
To come to the high state. You know?
Listen,
very nice.
We're devoted. We're part and parcel of Krishna. That's all you need. Go from that point to the next point.
So his response, very nice, Prabhu. And your name? Bhaktivinoda Prabhu. Hari Hari. Bhaktivinoda Prabhu says that there is another way, that as the Bhagavatam explains that if we become a pure devotee, then those who are connected with us for so many generations, seven ahead, seven behind, something like that, however many generations, they get delivered, and then they show up in the spiritual world without having apparently received any rectification, and they wonder, how the heck did I get here? But
mercy.
It's, yeah, that is called mercy. Yes, very nice. Yes, Mother Ruchira.
I was thinking also, you never know how Krishna reacts with his devotees. We don't know how we think it should be a certain way, and we're not seeing it. What's going on?
That's right. Thank you.
So we have to accept that, okay, we can do what we can do, we can pray for them, but it's totally in Krishna's hands.
That's right.
He does with his devotees.
The Lord moves in mysterious ways. And we just don't know what he's trying to do. I love that. Thank you so much, Mother. Because, yeah, we may look and say, because like I said, when I read this, I'm like, why would he allow his servants to be cursed? They were just doing their job. And they were thinking, God, you know, we don't want to get cursed. But then, who can tell the story that I took four births in the material world, and I got to fight with the Lord. I got to fight with Krishna in four different incarnations, kind of with Lord Chaitanya they fought, but, you know, who can tell that story? You know, sometimes only the greatest personalities get to be chosen to play the most difficult roles. And like Mother was saying, we don't really know what the Lord's plan is fully. So we may have our perspective according to our relationship or according to some position we may have. We can try to do what we can do to create some level of justice or moral framework or dharma. But ultimately, the Lord has His own plan and all kinds of things go on. Thank you. Man proposes and God disposes. That's right. Okay, we've gone over time now, and I don't want to keep any of you from your amazing Sunday feast. Once again, we'd like to thank you very, very much for your kind attention, for your participation, and their lordships willing, we would certainly love to be able to come back and be in your association again. So only by the mercy of Vaishnavas is anything possible. So we're requesting your mercy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.